Text that we consider this morning is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. On this Thanksgiving Day, we do well to begin the day here in God's house in the worship of God's holy name. For many, many years, this has been the practice of the Reformed churches. And we see the wisdom of our Reformed church fathers in instituting this practice, because there's much profit for us to begin the day here in God's house. It's profitable for us because we start the day on the right foot here in God's house. And we have set before us what it means truly to be a thankful people. But it's profitable for us also because through the worship of God's name in this morning, we see that what must characterize us in this day, this Thanksgiving Day, the gratitude that we express, must also characterize us every single day of our lives. That at least is one of the implications of the text that we consider this morning. We're called, the text says, to give thanks in everything. If we are to give thanks in everything, that necessarily means that we will give thanks on every day. We do that in a special way on this day, this Thanksgiving Day, but we do that remembering that what we do today must be found every day of our lives, so that we are, all of our lives long, a thankful people. Giving thanks in everything. We take that as the theme of this text. Giving thanks in everything. We look in the first place at the meaning, the second place at the reason, and in the third place, the possibility. The meaning, the reason, and the possibility. Giving thanks in everything. At the outset, it's important to see that the apostle in this text gives absolutely no qualifications with respect to what we are to give thanks for and in. You can't get around it. Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, in every situation, in every circumstance of life, in everything, give thanks. To put it negatively, there's nothing in which we are not to give thanks. There's so much packed into that little prepositional phrase, in everything. And to break it down, we can categorize the everything into groups. A couple different ways to do that. We'll consider a couple of them. One way is this, that which is earthly and that which is spiritual. On this Thanksgiving Day, we give thanks to God for the earthly blessings that He has given to us. We have so much when it comes to the things of this earth. And historically speaking, at least, this was one of the main reasons the church gathered together on this day. When so many of God's people were directly connected with or dependent upon the farming industry, during this harvest season, the church gathered together to give thanks to God for the crop that was planted earlier in the season. We're removed from that a little bit today. But the application of that is simply this. We give thanks for all of the earthly provisions that God has blessed us with. And we have so much. We don't lack anything. All of the necessities of life we have. And we have them in such a great abundance. I say that confidently, fully cognizant of the economic situation we find ourselves in. But we are so far, in the grand scheme of things, so far from experiencing what I would call real poverty. Many of God's people experience real poverty, not even having these basic necessities of life. We have them in such a great abundance. And on this Thanksgiving Day, we give thanks for those things. And by the way, we would give thanks for them, obviously, even if we did not have them in such a great abundance. That which is earthly. We also give thanks to God for that which is spiritual or heavenly. And all of the spiritual blessings that we have are wrapped up, especially in this one blessing, and that is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His life, through His death on the cross, resurrection, ascension into heaven, we have a full and a free salvation. Salvation from sin, death, the results of sin, and salvation unto covenant life with God. But from that core spiritual blessing of Jesus Christ, there comes to us a host of other spiritual blessings. I mentioned some of those in the prayer this morning. We give thanks to God for peace, spiritual peace, the peace of knowing despite our sin, our sinfulness, God still looks down upon us as righteous in Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God for hope, hope of life everlasting when our pilgrimage here on this earth comes to a close. And that list could go on and on and on. A host of spiritual blessings, all of which flow from that one blessing of Jesus Christ. On this Thanksgiving morning, we give thanks for those spiritual blessings that we have. That which is earthly, that which is spiritual. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at the in everything in the text is this. That which is good and that which we might call bad. I hesitate somewhat to make that distinction because we know that God is good and everything God sends us is for our good. But what we mean by that is simply this. The distresses of life, the burdens, the anxieties, the sicknesses, the struggles, all of those things are included in the in everything that we find in the text. I can't help but mention a phrase that we find in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10 is on the truth of God's providence. Question and answer 27, we have a marvelous description, definition of providence. And then in question 28, the answer, or the question is this, what is vantage? Advantage is it to know that God has created and by His providence does still uphold all things. This is the beginning of the answer. That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity. Now that makes it sound as if our attitude towards prosperity is different than our attitude towards adversity. The catechism is correct. We must be patient in adversity, but that's not the whole story. Because we must also be thankful in adversity. 1 Corinthians 5:18. Give thanks in everything, and certainly included in the in everything are the adversities of this life. And so we give thanks for, or we give thanks in, really, that's what the text says, in the situations that we find are difficult. Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Part of what it means to be a Christian is that we face trials, struggles, difficulties, a truth that is confirmed very clearly by many of our lives today. But in those situations, we give thanks. In a little bit, we'll have opportunity to see why this is the case and how this is the case, that even in those struggles, we give thanks. But just note at this point that that is also what is included in the text when it says in everything. But our lives are not all sorrows. Of course not. There are joys, real joys. And for those we give thanks as well. Think along the lines of our churches and for our church specifically. Thanks be to God for the peace that we find in our midst. I've only been here for 5 months or so, and I don't know the ins and outs of everything. But on the surface, at least, it seems as if there is great peace and unity among us as a body of Christ. Strive to keep that and preserve that, but give thanks to God for that peace and that unity that we find in our midst today. Thanks be to God for the Word that we have, the Word which we hear from week to week and in our homes and in the catechism room. Thanks be to God also for the covenant faithfulness that we experience in our midst. So many baptisms, so many confessions of faith. We see our children, young people growing up, knowing and loving the Lord. As a church, we have so much to give thanks for. Break it down even farther into the realm of our families. And the same can be said. 3 John 1 verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Baptisms, confessions of faith, our children are walking in the truth. Thanks be to God. Peace and fellowship as a church. We also experience that in our families. Thanks be to God for the manifold blessings that He has given to us. Give thanks in everything, the text says. We've seen what that everything is by several examples. But what exactly does it mean to give thanks? Giving thanks is expressing appreciation for that which has been given to us by another. Expressing appreciation. In a few short weeks, we'll find ourselves in the heart of the Christmas season. It's a time of great joy for us, spiritually great joy as we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also a time of fellowship. We'll get together often with family. And at those gatherings, oftentimes there is the exchange of gifts. Children, when you receive a gift from your grandpa or grandma or mom or dad, what is it that you do? What you should do is this. You should go to mom or dad, grandpa or grandma, and say, thank you. Thank you. You say thank you, but then you'll probably do something else. You'll probably show that thanks. And you'll go to mom or dad, grandpa and grandma, and you'll give them a big hug. An expression of your thanks to them for that gift. Well, the same is true for us. All that we have, all of our experiences are so many gifts that come to us from the hand of God. And just as that child expresses by words his thanks and by his actions, saying thank you, giving a hug or whatnot, so also must we. We show our thanks by what we say and by what we do. By what we say in the first place. And here we're dealing with prayer. Prayer. If we truly are thankful for all that God has given to us, we will tell God in so many words in prayer. Heidelberg Catechism again. Question and answer 16. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? This is the answer. Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. The chief part of thankfulness. If you're truly thankful, you will tell God in prayer. And that's evident from the context of 1 Thessalonians 5. You get to the end of 1 Thessalonians 5 and it seems like Paul is just wrapping up the letter, giving short, unrelated, concluding remarks. But really that's not the case, because there is relationship between some of the phrases at the end, especially what we're dealing with. Look at the verse immediately preceding verse 18, the text that we are considering. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Very closely related to verse 18, giving thanks in everything. And the relationship is this. We go a long ways in giving thanks in everything when we do what verse 17 says and pray without ceasing. Exactly because when we live our lives in prayer, we give thanks to God. And we give thanks to God in everything when we pray without ceasing. So by what we say, we give thanks to God, but also by what we do. You want to show yourself to be a thankful child of God, then do that which God has commanded in His Word and according to His will. Again, Heidelberg Catechism, third part of the Catechism on Thankfulness, basically asks this, why do good works? Why obey God's law? The answer is this. One of the reasons is this, that we may testify by the whole of our conduct, our gratitude to God for His blessings. Lives lived in conformity with the Word of God is the way we show gratitude to God for all of this that God has given to us. And we do that with good reason. The reason we give thanks in everything is especially the second part of the text. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But really, there's even a more fundamental reason we give thanks in everything. And that comes simply from this. This is a command of God. Notice that. Notice the tense of the verb to give thanks in the text. It's an imperative, a command. Give thanks. And that which God commands us to do, we do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But there's an even more well-grounded reason for giving thanks in everything. And that's what I mentioned a moment ago. It's the will of God that we do so. A more well-grounded reason. It's a reason that we can understand. And really, it's a reason that helps us in actually carrying out this command to give thanks in everything. It's the will of God for us to do so. The will of God. What's the will of God? Although included in God's will is His command, it is. There's a little bit more to it than that in this context. The will of God is His good desire for us. His good desire for us. To see that this is the case, it's helpful to identify the you in the text. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the antecedent of the pronoun you there? Who must give thanks in everything? And for whom is it the will of God to do so? In the narrowest sense, the you is a reference to the saints in the Church of Thessalonica. But more broadly speaking, the you is a reference to all of God's saints, all of God's people in the Church of Jesus Christ, you and me. For us, it is the will of God that we give thanks in everything. When we see that it's limited to only His people, we understand a little bit more why I said what I did regarding what the will of God is. It's God's good desire for us. In other words, it's the desire of God that we give thanks in everything because it's good for us to do so. Understand why that's the case. What is the one attitude or emotion that always accompanies thanksgiving? It's this. Joy. Happiness. This day is a testament to that very fact. We gather together right now as a body of Christ for worship. Later in the day, we gather together with friends and family. We have set before us all of the blessings of God, and for them all we are thankful. And when we do that, it's a joyful thing. We're glad when we give thanks in everything. And so there's good reason for us to do what the text says. In another place, the Apostle Paul exhorts the church to rejoice in everything. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Philippians. As God's people, we can rejoice always in the Lord, in part at least, because of what this text teaches us. Because in everything, we give thanks. This is rooted especially in who God is as the one who loves us, His people. We give thanks in everything because we know that in every situation that we face, God is good and God is working that for our good and for our salvation. The truth of Romans 8:28 is very closely connected to the truth of the text that we are considering. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. In everything, in every circumstance of life, we know and we can be confident that, and we can believe that it is for our good. Truth of the text is especially applicable for those distresses in life that we face. It's easy to give thanks in the good times. It's a whole other story to do so during the difficult times. But even in those situations, we give thanks. We don't give thanks for those bad things in and of themselves and for their own sake. Not at all. We give thanks because we know that in those circumstances, we can know and we do believe by faith that they are for our good and that they are even for our salvation. Consider the immediate context of this verse. Paul writing to the saints in Thessalonica. The saints in Thessalonica would have received this letter from Paul, read through it, got to the very end, and read these words. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. And immediately what would have come to their minds is this. Paul, in everything, give thanks? Understand that the saints in Thessalonica were a persecuted people. Read the letters. Read the history in Acts. They were persecuted on account of their faith. And now Paul tells them, give thanks in everything, even in this way of persecution. Yes, Paul says, yes, in everything, even in that circumstance. And do so because even that, God works for your good. The saints in Thessalonica may have understood how that was the case. They may have understood that, yes, when we experience this persecution, it has a positive fruit. Our faith is confirmed. Our faith is strengthened. We grow in our knowledge and in our love for the Lord Jesus. They may have understood that through the way in which they endured that persecution, others saw. And it was a powerful witness to those outside of the church in Thessalonica. So that even in the way of that difficult persecution, others may have been gathered into the church. In everything. Because everything is for our good and works for our good. We do the same today. We do that with respect to those anxieties of life. On this Thanksgiving Day, we may look at our lives right now, look into the future, and see very heavy burdens that we must bear. But on this Thanksgiving Day, we can give thanks in that situation. We give thanks because even though we may not understand how it is for our good and how it works for our salvation, that's okay. Because we give thanks knowing full well that God loves us and God works everything, everything for our good. We do that with respect to the earthly blessings that we have. So much. We don't lack anything. Even these, God works for our good. Consider the most basic necessity of life, the food that we eat. We fill our bellies. We receive strength from that. But that strength gives us the ability to go about our work day in and day out. Not only in the callings God has placed before us, but outside of those, in His church, in His kingdom. Mothers in the home, raising their children, teaching their children. All of these things we give thanks for. As churches, we've been blessed financially. And even that, God uses for good and for the good of His church. Kingdom causes. We have church, we have schools, good Christian schools that we are able to run on a daily basis for our children and young people. Mission fields. We're able to engage in mission work on the other side of the world for the good of God's church. We give thanks for those earthly blessings God has given to us. But ultimately and especially, we give thanks in this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. For the fact that in Him we have a full and a free salvation. And the God who saved us in Jesus Christ, we know will preserve us in that salvation until the day of our Lord. So that all of our lives long, in everything, the joys, the sorrows, we can know God is using it for our good and leading us to that day when we will be with Him in glory. How is this possible? Is it even possible for us to give thanks in everything? Or are we speaking ideally here? It's not possible for the unbeliever. Thanksgiving today, national holiday. The whole world, or our country at least, says that they give thanks in this day. But for the unbeliever, it's only a superficial thanksgiving. Because any thanksgiving apart from Jesus Christ can only be just that. Anyone who does not acknowledge the sovereignty of God, does not acknowledge the truth, does not acknowledge and believe the truth of Scripture, cannot, in the face of difficulties in life, truly give thanks in them. But let's not look outside of these walls only. Because we look at ourselves this morning and realize we can't do this in and of ourselves. We can't give thanks in everything. It's altogether unnatural for us to do so. It takes something otherworldly, outside of this world, to do so. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, breaking into our stubborn hearts and giving us the life of Jesus Christ. That's that little prepositional phrase in the text as well. In Christ Jesus. The possibility of us giving thanks in everything is the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. We're united to Christ by faith, the bond of faith, so that His life flows to us and becomes our life. We live out of that. We live out of the activity of faith. Only faith confesses that all of the blessings of this earth, blessings that we worked hard for, many hours, blood, sweat, and tears, in the end, are really only gifts to us from God. Only faith can look at the most difficult situation in life. In the face of that, say, yes, God is good. God is working that for my good. I give thanks even in that situation. Only faith looks at the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and says, He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the one who died for me. And for Him, I give thanks. The possibility of us doing what the text says is only the fact that we are in Christ, that God has given us the gift of faith. And when we do this, when we give thanks in everything, we experience a tremendous blessing. Earlier, we said that one of the reasons it's the will of God for us to do this is because accompanying thanksgiving is always joy. And that's the case in our lives. Give thanks in everything. You go forth living a joyful Christian life. We do that on this Thanksgiving Day. A joy that's kindled right here in God's house, where we have set before us the blessings of salvation that God has given to us. But let us not only do this on this day, but let us do this every day of our lives. And we will do it every day of our lives, because every single day we have before us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We read God's Word. We meditate upon that Word. We confess our sins before God. And every day anew, we realize the glories of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. So that we can say, we can truly say, Lord, You can take away everything. Everything. But forever, I will be a thankful believer because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that in life and in death, in the good times and in the bad times, I belong to Jesus Christ. On this day, we give thanks for everything. Thanks be to God. But thanks be to God especially for that unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, fill us with thanksgiving, not only on this day, but all the days of our lives. And we give Thee thanks especially in this day for the blessing of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Forgive, Father, what was said or what was heard in sin. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.